Hello, lovely listeners! On today's episode, we talk directly about the Nintendo Direct, plus we head into the future with Mega Man Zero Legacy Collection. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Rob, and Joey has a night off, and as usual, we will go into what we've been playing.
Oh, straight into it here.
Yes, we're just going to go straight into it. We got a meaty direct to get into, so let's just jump right in.
Okay, yeah, so this week, it's pretty light week in terms of just the quantity of what I've been playing, but I'm officially down with the chain. Yes, the astral chain. So you're like, no, no. Well, we were talking about this previously. I don't think we spoke about it on last week's episode. Just in regards that Astral Chain was coming out. But yes, Astral Chain is finally out on the Switch. I was pretty much a Debbie Downer on it. Then Joy told me check out more things about it. And I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and give it a try. And good thing I did. Just it's a great action game. It's great. It's something new. It's a breath of fresh air. To be honest, I was expecting a very repetitive game in the sense of having no soul, no heart to it. But I'm just surprised that I'm actually playing it, like really, really digging deep into it. And I haven't been digging deep into a lot of Switch games. I know last week I was playing a lot of Dragon Quest Builders 2. And again, that covers a different side of gaming. In that sense, where it's a little bit more relaxed, even though it has a story there, this is just like a complete freaking U-turn. Like I'm so happy I got this game. It definitely feels like one of Platinum Games' best work. Honestly, there's a lot of. Just a lot of things that they taken from all the games that they made, and they pretty much perfected it in Astral Chain. And if some of you guys don't know, Astral Chain is pretty much, I guess, like a police anime in that sense, made into a game.
I do get a little bit of Dominion Tank Police kind of vibes from it. An old anime. Never mind.
Yeah,
anyway,
see,
go on.
Like I was about to ask, was that an anime?
Go on.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's definitely it definitely feels like an anime, like straight cut from something if you're into like this sort of anime. Yes, like you said, the police anime there. It's something there that it's just full on. It's just like full on, and it doesn't care. And that's what I like about it. And then to put that with the gameplay, the presentation's off the hook. It's actually one of the best looking Switch games. I'm gonna say it's the best looking Switch game so far. And I'm very, very critical on handheld, how a game looks on handheld and how it looks on docked. On handheld, it looks phenomenal. It runs phenomenal. On dock mode, it looks insane. I question sometimes if this game definitely could have been on PS4, and you know, no one would question it in that sense. So it has the presentations, it has the looks, and the gameplay. The gameplay is very, very interesting. It's like it's like Metal Gear Rising plus like a little like I guess Pokemon element or JoJo Bizarro Adventure. Like you have a stand in that sense, like these legions that you get, pretty much you chain them, obviously Astral Chain. You get plenty of these different like legions that each have their own unique abilities, and you actually get to control them. So you get to control your character. That's one. And you get to control the attacks of your characters. But then you can send off your legion to go ahead and target another enemy. And the legion auto-attacks the enemy there for you. It does auto-attacks by itself. It's kind of like an MMO too. So there's a lot of things like going on in this game. For people who, I guess, don't like overly complicated controls, this game could get overly complicated. It gets as complicated as you want, but that's a good thing too. That's what gives it the variety. Because you do have to control another character while you're controlling your main character. You're controlling your character, you're controlling the Legion, you're controlling what skills the Legion does. You could time off different combos from you to your Legion. So it gets pretty creative, and at the beginning it doesn't show that off, and that could put off a lot of people who pretty much thought this game was gonna be something special, you know, at the onset. Yes, like I said, the opening was awesome. The opening, great opening. Again, it feels pure anime, the opening. But the skills that you get at the very beginning are very, very limited. It's pretty much once you hit file 3, and this is what they call chapters in the game there. Once you hit file 3, it's pretty much full throttle. That's when the game just opens up, and again, it's like what Platinum evolved into, or they perfected from every game. It has a bit of Metal Gear Rising. It has a bit of Nier. It has a bit of even their Transformer game. Like, it has a bit of everything. It has a bit of, like, Wonderful 101 in there. Like, so it's very, very, very creative. It feels fresh. Even though things feel similar, it still feels fresh. And that's what I love about it. And I've been, like, digging the game and been playing a bunch of hours since I've got it. And another thing too, let's just brief there with the gameplay. Like I said, once you pass that chapter 3, that's when things get interesting. The combat feels insane. You could go as simple or as complex as you want. Some people might be scared off again because it does feel complex when, you know, they take off all the chains in that sense. And they give you, like, you know, full control over everything. So it does go a little bit extreme, but that's what makes it unique. And there's a lot of customization too in the game, a lot. Like, you could level up the Legion to get more skills, you get more powers, you could, like, dress your character pretty much specific ways, you could change the colors, you could change the color of the Legion. A lot of different things. The story is like, it's okay so far. It's okay. It's like, it's all right. You know, it's not too crazy. But yeah, it's a joy to play. Like, I was real surprised on what I thought about the game before. You know, when Joey told me, go ahead and look at more, like, videos of it, I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. Very, very surprised with that. So I'm gonna say it could definitely be one of my game of the years. This is how much I like it.
Yeah, like, the for me, like, the controlling another character while playing one character kind of turned me off of it. Like, that's what I didn't like about The World Ends With You. Like, it just never clicked with me, and that's kind of what's putting me off of Astral Chain. Like, everything else, like, I'm into, but it's just, like, that's kind of, like, kind of... I wish there was, like, a demo that I could, like, try it out myself to see if it clicks with me, but...
Honestly, I think the demo would throw people off. And this is if they decided to make that demo the beginning portion of the game. it would honestly throw more people off. Because at first, you know, it's so simple. It starts off so simple. And you're like, okay, when is the it coming from the game? And, you know, once it opens up, you're like, oh crap, like, I could do this, I could do that. Like, it's a very, very fun game. Again, with like brawler types and fighting games, if you're a creative type, these are definitely the games to play. Like, Astral Chain is one of those games because you could get very, very creative. And it's, again, it's a platinum game, so you'll get that rating system as well. So there, you know, it's very, very fun. And I don't, if they did do a demo, I wish they did a demo there with all the skills there unlocked with the, at the beginning portions. Because that would actually, like, to be honest, that would put more people at ease.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I could always check to see if Redbox rents it. I don't even know if they rent Switch games.
That would be actually a good idea. And I would recommend it, Astral Chain, to pretty much anyone who likes, like, brawlers or wants something a little different in terms of a action brawler in that sense. And again, you're also a police officer, so there is certain segments there where you do have to do, like, talk to people and, like, figure out clues, and that's pretty dope too. It actually breaks the game you know, from not being too repetitive in that sense with the action. But again, just the stuff that you could do when things start to unlock, it's just crazy. I was like, pretty much like, holy shit, like, most of the time. It was just that crazy. So, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying Astral Chain. And again, it definitely could be my game of the year. Definitely. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, that's all I've been playing this week. Rob, what have you been playing?
Honestly, not too much. I finished off Wolfenstein Youngblood, and yeah, it really does feel like they try to throw in the whole, like, monetization kind of to get people more engaged with it, but it's like, once you beat it, it's like, eh, there's not much there. I recently bought GTA 5 on PC, which I had been putting off for years, because it would never hit below, like, I kept telling myself $20 is a sweet spot, and then it hit $20, I'm like, eh, I'll wait a little bit, and then it hit $15, I'm like, alright, fine. So I've been playing GTA 5. I never beat it on PS4, because I never got it on PS3 or 360, I got it on PS4, because I was holding off on a PC release, but then I eventually got PS4, I played it a little bit, and right now in the game, I'm not to where I was yet, where I stopped playing on PS4. Like, I've got to the point where Trevor just showed up in Los Santos, so it's still pretty early on. It's running pretty good on my computer. I think I have it at 1440, with mostly 60 frames, with everything on high. And it's competent. Not competent. It's satisfactory, I guess, as far as performance.
I mean, yeah, it should be competent.
it is like when you think about it, it is a fucking old game. Now that you, like, if you actually look at it, it's like, yeah, but it's, you know, it's an open world. It was pretty taxing. Hell, GTA 4 ran pretty crappy because it was wasn't very well optimized.
Oh yeah, I remember that. And I had a PC at the time too. I remember that, and I still actually played it better on my PC than on 360. So I do remember those times, but yeah, I remember GTA 4 running like crap.
Yeah, because I think I tried replaying GTA 4 like a few months ago, and I was like, eh, this is kind of disappointing. It's like, I think I tried to play either Quake 4 or Doom 3 on my old computer. With, like, everything up to the max, and it ran crappy. So it's poorly optimized, because, like,
that was
compared to, like,
Doom
2016.
That was probably Doom
3. Compared to, like, Doom 2016, like, I was running that on my computer at, like, 140 frames per second with everything on high. So it all comes to optimization. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Since I can't get Iceborne, I've been playing Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate on the Switch. I'm still early on. Like, I just now got my Palico. So we'll see if I've gotten used to the quality of life improvements that World implemented, if that will keep me away from completely enjoying Generations Ultimate.
I mean, but really, did Monster Hunter World add any quality of life like features? What I mean is the multiplayer. You remember when we did our multiplayer session, right? It was such an ordeal just to play Monster Hunter World.
No, yeah, I mean,
it still had a Japanese sort of mentality with online games in terms of not being progressive.
No, it's true. And honestly, I'm going to play Generations Ultimate. I'm probably not going to play with anyone else, just solo. It did have some stuff in terms of the core gameplay, like being able to... You don't have to use a paintball to mark a monster. Like, pretty much as soon as you encounter it, like, I think you can... It's been a while since I've played it. But I think you can, like, track it automatically without having to use a paintball. You have an infinite whetstone to sharpen your weapons, which is always good. Like, you don't have an infinite amount of axes, I guess, to mine stuff. Like, a lot of small things like that definitely help make it a more streamlined, easier type of game. But Generations Ultimate does have a lot more stuff over World. It has more monsters.
And it has swimming, right?
It has... no. I think that was only for Try. Because the reason they added swimming is because they wanted battles to be more three-dimensional. But they kind of solved that since you can jump and stuff in Generations and in World. So they don't really need... Swimming was kind of a pain. But they have, like, styles. Like, I'm using dual blades like I always use. And what's cool is, like, I kind of have a jump button. I can jump up in the air and then, like, do some attacks in the air.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Kind of what... You couldn't do that with... You could do that in World, but only with certain
lance.
Weapons.
Yes, with the lance. Because that's what
the glaive. Yeah, I know the insect glaive. Yeah. And I think something else, too. I want to say maybe sword and shield. But there's a few weapons where you can actually, like, jump up in the air and do attacks. But with this one, like, you can select different styles in addition to your, weapons, and that kind of adds some more stuff to it. There's a lot more to Generations Ultimate, even though it is pretty much just an upscale 3DS game, so it doesn't look pretty. But that's fine. It's kind of what it is, so... I mean, that's pretty much it. I got Soul Calibur because I got some games from the Humble Bundle, Build Your Own Bandai Namco Bundle, which is hard to say. You basically can choose up to 5 games and get up to 85% off each title. So I ended up picking up Soul Calibur 6. Dragon Ball Fighter Z, Dark Souls 2, 3. What else did I get? Oh, Pac-Man Championship Edition 2, and another cheap game, so I can get that extra discount.
Man, all these freaking games, all, man.
I know, and it was all $27 for all those games, and I was almost gonna get Tekken 7. I was really, really close, but I'm like, Tekken 7 doesn't really gel with me too much. Or Tekken doesn't gel with me too much. I feel like I'd enjoy the other games. Now the problem is, I have to buy the fucking season passes for each of those games, and that's not going
to
be cheap.
And also, too, the time I went to play all these games, because there's just so many. All these bundles, like Humble Bundle, and then the PSN sales, and then the Switch sales, and then the live sales, This is really a forefront, especially with the new titles coming out. So it's,
yeah, Well, like, that's kind of why, well, Dark Souls 2, I'll get to it when I get to it. Like, I've already thought, like, you know, I'm not going to play it until, like, there's, like, nothing to play it or I'm bored. Like, I know that.
You know when you say that, I picture, like, a book.
Oh, it'll be, like, 5 years before
exactly,
I touch it.
Exactly,
no.
Like, a book, like, you put on a shelf, and then you're like, oh, let me just, like, you know, skip by a page.
I can guarantee, like, it'll be, like, either 5 years before I touch it, or it'll be right before, what, Elden Ring comes out? The new George R.R. Martin game coming out? I'll probably touch it around then. But I'm not too worried about it. Like, I'll play it when I play it. Like, I played and bought Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 1 Remastered, and I never beat both of those games. So I'm not too worried about Dark Souls 2. But, like, at least with the Pac-Man Championship Edition, that's pretty much a pick-up-and-play game. Like, it's literally just, like, you know, whatever. Like, there's not much you have to think about. And then there's also the two fighting games, like Soul Calibur 6, like, you know, I'll play the story, but it's, like, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Well, you know, for me, a fighting game, to me, feels like a big deal. Like, it could just be that only game, but I'll stay with it for over a few hours. Sometimes it's not a pick up and play thing. It's more like, okay, I'll play for like 3 hours, and you know, those are the only sessions.
Well, for like fighters, like, it just, they don't click for me. Not that they don't click. It's just like, I'll play for a little bit, play through story, play through arcade, and that's it. So Soul Calibur, like, I'll get to. I'll play the story mode. Blah blah blah. Maybe eventually, like, the season pass will go down enough. Like, right now, it's on sale on Steam for, like, $20.
That's not a sale.
It's like, that's still a lot. Well, it's normally, like, $30, so it's, like, down to $20, or, like, $21 or something. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not too worried about that, because I'm probably also going to pick up River City Girls.
Yes, yes.
Which is, like, 100%, like, on-brand my aesthetic in so many ways.
And we were trying to get a copy for that one. We're trying to get one for that one.
Meh.
So.
Just kind of that stuff. And then they and Dragon Ball FighterZ played a little bit on the Switch version. But it's one of those games I'm gonna have to, like, actually, like, play the story and, like, the tutorial to kind of figure out how to play. I felt, like, super lost. It's not like a Capcom fighter in a way where it's like, I know it's easy for me to get into. Kind of like, I don't want to say necessarily like Capcom fighter, but like, you know, SNK and those kind of old school types of fighters. Like, if you've played one, you can kind of jump into another one with a general idea of what you're doing. But with Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball FighterZ, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. So, but it's not a big deal. We'll get to it when I get to it. I just got them because it was super fucking cheap. It was like $27 for all those games.
Yeah, it's a sale. These normally, sales, like, are hard. Being a gamer is rough.
Like, normally, like, yeah, I know. And, like, normally, like on sale, like, Dragon Ball FighterZ will be just $15 for the game itself. So I was like, I think I got it for like $9 for that game. So I was like, oh yeah. So anyway, let's speaking of Z, let's talk about Mega Man Zero.
Uh-huh.
And ZX Legacy Collection.
Yes.
So it was leaked last week, and then officially revealed, like, I think a few hours later.
Yeah. This is actually pretty cool because I've only played the first one, Mega Man Zero. The other ones I haven't played, so this is actually pretty cool. And I'm excited for this one, actually. Just because I bought Mega Man Collection 1 and Mega Man Collection 2. And I only played one of Mega Man Zero. And I know the Zero titles are extremely hard. Like, ball-busting hard. I know that. But it's coming out for the Switch, the PS4, the Xbox One, and PC. So I'm getting it on the Switch. Just because I feel like just platformers are more suited there, I guess. Or something, you see, for me, this is like more pick up and play for me. So, but
I can see that.
Yeah, they.
And it helps on the Switch because, like, you can literally suspend the game and stop.
Yeah. But they did it. They they're doing a lot of, what do you call it there? They're doing a lot of, I guess, difficulty, like, not changing the difficulty entirely, but they're doing a lot of things there just to make it easier in that sense. Things like the rewind feature that they're going to have. Another thing, too, they just have, I guess difficulty, yes, difficulty. They just have an easier mode, so you could just look at the story there. Just so it could be like a more cinematic experience. So I'm excited for it just because, again, I've only played Mega Man Zero, the first one. And yeah, I'm going to plan to play it with how it released. But, you know, if it gets too hard, I'm dropping down the difficulty for sure to the casual scenario mode. That's what it's called there. The casual scenario mode is going to reduce the difficulty. And also, I'm sorry there, it's not the rewind feature. It's pretty much like a save system there where you can save mid-mission. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to play normally. I'm going to play normally until I get very, very pissed off where I want to throw my Switch somewhere. That's where I'll switch to, that's when I'll use these options there to go ahead and, I guess, enjoy the game. So, or enjoy the game and try not to break my Switch.
I think that's a good goal, to not break the Switch.
Yeah. We'll keep it like that.
Yeah. I think I've played a little bit of the Mega Man Zero games, maybe the first one. I did play Mega Man Zero, Mega Man ZX and Mega Man, what is it, ZXA? Like the DS games. And those games, I heard, were a little bit easier, but I still had a lot of problems. Because, like, well, for me, my Mega Man nostalgia isn't really for the original games or X. My Mega Man nostalgia comes from Legends and the Ruby Spears cartoon.
Now that you mention Legends, by the way, not to cut you off there, we need a Mega Man Legends collection.
Oh, we certainly do. We absolutely do. Mega Man Legends 1, 2, and
Tromboon.
Misadventures of Tromboon, yes. That is 100% that needs to happen. And I feel like that might be the next thing that they're going to do. Honestly, I wasn't expecting them to do Zero. I thought they would probably do Battle Network. Because it seems to be like a popular subseries. Subseries.
I'm so for Battle Network collection. That I'm so for. I played a lot of them. I'm not going to say I played all of them. I played a lot of them. I know there's some other ones that I mixed.
I think I played like the first two, and then that was pretty much it. But yeah, no, I'd be down for like a Battle Network collection, especially if it has what was the GameCube one?
Mission Command X.
Command. No.
Whether?
Oh wait, no. Was that?
No. Was it?
No. Command Mission was the Mega Man X game.
Are we sure here?
I think it might be Network Transmission.
Yes, Network Transmission. Yes. You see,
there's
so many.
Because I was thinking Command Mission 2, but that was a Mega Man X game.
Yeah, there's so many.
There was like a PS2 one. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I played the ZX. ZX, the first one, and a little bit of the second one. And, like, those were a little bit too hard for me. Because, like I said, I don't have the nostalgia for the original Mega Man games. Nor the motor skills to play them. I actually have to like sit down and like work on them, but now I feel like I'm too old to do that. Where it's kind of like I have other things to play, which isn't a good thing. But like if I had more time to just like do nothing and spend like hours and weeks on a Mega Man game, then I would. Even though I bought the Legacy Collection 1 and 2 on Steam, and I'll probably buy the Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2 on Steam just so that I have it. So I can play it whenever. But, whatever. It's fine. But yeah, no, I mean, I'll definitely pick up the collection. It looks good. I've always had an interest in the Zero games, so.
And yeah. Hopefully that Mega Man Legends collection. Hopefully.
I hope that Legends would be next, because it does seem like they want to do more. Hopefully this does well and they do more. Then again, this is like their third Legacy collection, so why
they
not?
Have to, yeah, they have to finish it off. Like they have to
finish it off. Good lord. Because they'd also have to do the Star Force games, I guess. And what else?
Yeah, just do it. Just release a Capcom. Well,
yeah. I mean, I guess there isn't too much more. It's just
we'll let it ring.
There's Legends, Battle Network, and then Star Force. I don't think there's anything else that really needs its own thing. So, yeah. I will buy these Capcom collections. Like, I've bought several of their collections. But all right, I guess that's enough Mega Man talk. Let us get into the meatiest of meaty Nintendo Directs, at least in the last year, outside of E3. A 40-minute Direct, which had quite a lot of... Because I watched it as it was happening. It was a very, very good, solid Direct. I know people like to chastise Nintendo whenever they decide to focus on a game too much.
Well, I enjoy that. Like,
and I do too. Like, it's kind of like if a game's coming out, like, I honestly expected, like, maybe, you know, 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes on Link's Awakening, because that comes out this month, and then maybe another 5-10 minutes on Pokemon Sword and Shield. And it wasn't even that much. It was like maybe 5 minutes for Sword and Shield, and then 2 to 3 minutes for Link's Awakening. But yeah, let's start at the beginning. We may as well do this chronologically. And since I can't remember what happened, I'm using my own recap that is up on the site now. So that's a little plug for you. So if you wanted to kind of take a look to see, you know, what the recap is as well. So first things first, I guess, is the leakiest leak that happened. Is Overwatch is coming to the Switch, which is what I had mentioned last podcast. It was confirmed like a little bit after that, and then it got shown off on the Nintendo Direct.
Well, the case first came out. The the leak.
The Overwatch Switch case was accidentally put on, I think, Amazon early, and then. I think a week later, or like a few days later, it was kind of officially announced, but then the Direct was the first time they actually showed it. Kind of like the same thing happened with, well, not the exact same thing, but something happened with like Fortnite, where everyone knew Fortnite was coming to the Switch before it actually was announced.
I guess this is worst kept secret, I guess, because everyone knew. Come on. Like, why not? Why not put it on the Switch? We already have Paladins.
Well, it's been one of those things where it's been, like, rumored forever. Like, I think, maybe a little bit after either Overwatch came out or a little after the Switch came out, people kept talking about, I guess it was after the Switch because Overwatch came out first, talking about it coming to the Switch, because I think they were, like, thinking about putting it on, or maybe, you know, they were testing it. It's a little bit weird that it's coming out now. So much later. It's not a free-to-play game. You still have to buy the game, but it's still a lot cheaper. It's like $40 for the game and like 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online. So it's a pretty good deal there. But it doesn't seem like you can transfer your stuff between games, and I really don't want to have to try to luck out and get the two skins, or the one skin I want again, which is the Witch Mercy. I'm like, I already got it on my PC version. I don't want to try to get it. I don't want to spend any money to get it on the Switch. Would have been nice.
Well, it's, well, like, for this sort of a game, like, I know they mentioned that what do you call it, crossplay, that they don't want to do crossplay. They already mentioned that statement there, where, you know, they see that crossplay, it's not suited for Overwatch. And I understand it because of what they added to the Switch version, which was the gyro controls.
Yeah.
Because with gyro controls, you're pretty much better than anyone on a controller. So that gives another level of...
Yeah, but you're not as good as anyone on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, but still. Because more than likely... Yeah, more than likely the Switch version was going to link up with the Xbox version. More than likely.
Well, I just want to be able to... Not necessarily play with other people, but like at least transfer my collection, everything I've already unlocked. Because that's kind of that's annoying thing is like you're buying into a new ecosystem, so they want you to pay more money to get more loot boxes, to get more stuff. And it's not like it's a free-to-play thing where it's like, okay, I'll just, you know, play it here casually. So you still have to pay for it. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit too late of a release. But who knows? I mean, maybe it'll still do really, really well.
Yeah, I think it will do enough, you know, enough.
Yeah.
Enough for it. Yeah, cross save definitely in progression. I hope that's something that's in the works. That would make sense.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if they do offer that, I will probably pick it up on the Switch just so that, you know, I can play it. Even though I could technically play it right now whenever because I have it always installed on my PC. I mean, it's still kind of nice to just, like, you know, want to play it on the TV.
Yeah.
Just for a little bit, so. Stuff like that. Alrighty. I guess, and then next up we have Luigi's Mansion 3. Coming out next month, October 31st. They showed off the themed rooms that the game is going to have. There's an Egyptian theme, pirate restaurant theme, which is oddly specific, and something else. What was the other one?
Disco floor.
Disco, yes, that's right. So that looks really cool, and then they've got some multiplayer modes, kind of Team Luigi versus Team Gooigi. Where you have to each team against each other trying to capture the most ghosts, get the most coins, and then break the most targets. So kind of simple stuff, but like cool that they have those options.
Yeah, I'm not too excited for it, but again, that could change. That certainly could change. I wasn't too excited about Astral Chain, and I love the game now. So yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3, like you know, when that was shown, I was like, okay. Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm probably going to buy it because it looks like it's going to be a solid game, but I'm not, like, hyped for it. I'm not like, oh my god, I can't wait for it. It's kind of like, yeah, all right, I'll get it. It looks like it'll be fun. It'll be fun enough. Like, a very competent, solid game, so that's all I want. And, wait, what day of the week is Halloween? Thursday? It is Thursday, so I might be able to play it all day on Thursday. That'll be my goal.
Oh, look at that.
On spoopy Halloween.
You're scheduling. You see, yes. Look, this is how many games are coming out.
I'm kind of scheduling.
Yeah, this is how many games are coming out that, you know, we have to schedule these things now. So,
well, I mean, it's kind of like, it makes sense to play it on Halloween, and it is pretty much like the last kind of day to play that, so like, I'm not going to schedule a day to play, like, Pokemon or anything else.
Oh, you could bet. Just you could damn sure bet I will.
I mean, I did that with X and Y. Like, I did take a week off of took a week of vacation around when X and Y was coming out, so I had some time to play it. Just because, like, I was gonna take a vacation anyway, so it just kind of lined up. That was years ago. Alrighty. And then we will go on to the next one, which is Super Kirby Clash, which is basically Kirby Monster Hunter. It is a free-to-start game, already on the eShop. I haven't tried it. I heard it wasn't actually too great. It wasn't terrible, but just wasn't too great.
Well, it came out on the 3DS.
Yeah, I think it was part of one of the other Kirby games. And they just kind of, like, broke it off.
Yeah. And before...
Because they've done that before.
Yeah, and it's, again, it was a free-to-start game. I know on the 3DS version, what I know about it is that, you know, you, I guess, put like a certain time limit or how much money you could earn, so that way you don't waste money. It was something like that. I don't have too much details on it, but I know it did something like that where, you know, you could buy like, I guess, time or, what do you call it? Energy there, but the game like really reinforced you pretty much not to spend too much money, like real money.
Oh yeah.
So it's like a microtransaction game at first. This is just what I've heard and what I've seen about it. I might be wrong. So yeah, you guys don't kill me on this, but I think that's what it was with Super Kirby Clash. And they just pretty much just repackaged it and, like you said, split it off for the Switch.
Yeah, and they've done that before with some of the Kirby 3DS games. Like, they'd have a mode that you'd unlock after beating the game. It was just like a quick mode, and then they released it on the 3DS eShop, but like a little bit more expanded, but more or less the same. So it seems like they kind of took that idea and kind of ran with it. Which is good. Like, it's a good way to kind of like try out new things.
Okay, and then moving on from Super Kirby Clash, they showed off Trials of Mana, the Return of Obra Dinn, and Game Freak's Town.
Well, no, it's called Little Town Hero now.
Aha. Uh-huh. You see,
little... yes, Town was a tentative title. Yeah,
that's I'm like, wait, wasn't it Town? And I'm thinking, wait, I saw this somewhere. It was something else. And yeah, it's right. That's yeah. Me not reading this correctly here. So yes, I did see the game there. I actually did not see. I saw partial of the direct in terms of actually saw. I read up mostly everything there, and you know what you have on this recap too. And again, I've seen majority of the videos, but Little Town Hero I didn't see much about, so that's interesting there to me, because I know it's Game Freaks, and Game Freaks are the guys who make Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for me, it even though I love Game Freak, I bought Hembo the Badass Elephant. I don't think I'll pick up Little Town Hero. The gameplay doesn't really interest me. Looks fine. It just seems very passive. I'm just like, eh. I probably won't pick it up. But it's cool. Like it's cool that Game Freak has been doing like a lot more experiments, a lot more like completely different things.
Yeah, that's definitely mm-hmm. cool. So I give them that, and I definitely have to look. I'm actually interested just because they're experimenting. That's what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's definitely the good stuff there. And again,
quickly for Trials of Mana, definitely interested in that one. I want to pick up the mana collection of mana at some point, like the physical one. Even though I know it's on the eShop, but it'd be nice to have a physical box. Play that. So, but the remake looks really, really cool. It looks really good. And I love me some. It does seem a lot like the Tales of series, where there's more of an action element to it. Plus, I love the fact that like you select a protagonist, and like the story is told through that protagonist's eyes. So if you pick a different protagonist next time, like the story is told through their eyes. So it kind of lends itself to some replayability. That's really cool. Alrighty, and I guess next up we have some, Smash Brothers news. Banjo and Kazooie is officially released, which is a lot quicker than I thought would be. So it feels like just yesterday that they released Hero. But Banjo and Kazooie are out. And they also hinted at the... No, not really hinted at. They showed off the DLC character 4, which is Terry Bogard.
Yes.
From Fatal Fury?
Yes,
Fatal Fury.
King of Fighters, Garou Mark of Wolves. Yeah, just every SNK fighting game you can think of. So
he is the Ryu of SNK fighting. fighting games.
The poster boy.
He is 100%. Like, I had heard that there was they had leaked kind of that DLC character number 4 was SNK based. So I pretty much figured like Terry was going to be more than likely the one that they choose. Like, I would have liked Mai.
I would have liked Mai too. And I know you mentioned it to me there when this was getting announced, when, you know, when we got that that rumor there that someone from SNK was going to be the rep. You know, you instantly said Terry. I was like, yeah, it definitely could be Terry, but I wouldn't mind Athena. So
Athena would be cool. What's her name from Samurai Showdown? She was actually in the announcement trailer. I always forget.
Nakaruru. Yes.
I just remember like the Ruru part. She would have been cool because she had like the Falcon. Originally, I was thinking like if they were gonna pick an SNK SNK character, they would have like kind of like a 3-person team up type of character, kind of like Pokemon Trainer. It would be like Team SNK, or like it'd be 3 characters like Terry, Y'all and mine, like you kind of switch between them. Like
that would be
a cool dynamic.
That would have been fun, yeah.
Because it does seem like with the DLC characters, they're trying out new mechanics that are a little bit different. So I thought that would be a way they would go with that. But it does seem so far, what little they've shown of Terry, he's just gonna be like a standard fighter.
Well, he's gonna have his own style. Like I'm.
Well, yeah,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
Certain.
But I'm just saying like. He's not going to be, like, have a, not a gimmick mechanic, but, like, not be, like, Hero or Joker.
Yeah, he's going to be more like Ryu.
Yeah, which, I got to say, I am loving the salt of everyone just, like, bagging on Terry about how he's just Fire Ken. And it's like, oh, honey, no. Very, very superficially does he look like Ken. He wears red and he's blonde. Like, that is
and
it.
And has long hair.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. And that is pretty much it. Like, I mean, Terry Bogard is pretty much, yeah, like you said, like, the poster boy for SNK almost in general. Not just the fighters. So it's kind of like, that makes a lot of sense. But I will say, like, I have seen a lot of people asking, what is a good King of Fighters game to play?
98.
So it does seem like that's, yeah, like, 98. I've seen people say 98, 2002, and even saying, like, Garou, Mark of the Wolves, even though it's not...
Garou is pretty much, King of Fighters. Yeah, it's just Fatal Fury, in that sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would start off of, people want recommendations for SNK, you know, best games with Terry. King of Fighters 98. I would even say the new King of Fighters 2, the one that's out on PS4. Again, 2002. I would even say if you really want to go back to the good old days, it would be try playing Fatal Fury. Also, Real Bout Fatal Fury, which is. Mm-hmm. Real about Fatal Fury 2 would be the ones that you would play. Fatal Fury, just play the whole Fatal Fury line because there's pretty interesting things happening in terms of mechanics. When Fatal Fury first came out, it was after and around the time of Street Fighter 2. So it's definitely if you want more Terry Bogard, start with Fatal Fury. I feel like you will like the character a lot more starting for Fatal Fury because when you get to Garou, Mark of Wolves, you're like, wow. Like, his design is, like, so epic in the character. And just the story, reading up on SNK characters is actually pretty cool and playing the games and knowing, like, the story because these characters actually have stories and they're not bad stories. They're, like, pretty, like, legit and deep compared to other fighting games. So,
I just want to say that, speaking of which, like, the fact that Geese always falls off, like, a building being, like, a recurring theme is magnifique. The fact that it was in the announcement trailer for Terry was just fantastic, which was a great like love letter to the SNK games, just like how it was just showing up, how everyone was trying to grab at the invitation and missing. I thought that was like fantastic.
So the surprise, it's so crazy. The surprise to me, like in terms of who else they could have picked, too, they could have actually chose someone for Metal Slug too.
Yeah, Metal Slug was kind of my like. It might happen, and it would be cool because like there's a lot of things you could do with Metal Slug, but no, it didn't happen. I do hope Terry gets his Garo outfit.
Yes, his Marco Wolf outfit. Like, yeah,
a player 2-1. That'd be really cool. I still secretly want Rock Howard, but that's not gonna happen.
Oh yeah,
Rock's my favorite.
Maybe it's his trophy. Who knows?
That would be cool. I'd be cool with an assist trophy. But I feel like if it's an assist trophy, it's either going to be Geese, Kyo, or Iori. Well, then again, they did have Ryo on the back of the King of Fighters stage, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that was definitely.
And even though this, yes, and even though this wasn't shown on the direct, but it was shown on the Switch or the Smash Brothers. Banjo-Kazooie show-off video. They did announce a few new costumes for Mii Fighters, which I don't really care about, but still, Goemon, Mega Man Zero from X, Mega Man, or Proto Man, Team Rocket, which is kind of cool, and Sans from Undertale, which I was not expecting. It actually looks like a good costume. And he comes with a music track, which is like the best song, Megalovania. So I had to buy those two because 75 cents for each of them. I was like, all right, sure. But anyway, that's pretty much the non-direct thing. And then I guess, yeah, and then they showed off a little bit more of Link's Awakening. Not too much more. They just showed off some of the characters that were already in the game, like a character similar to Wart from Mario Brothers 2, a character similar to Kirby. They didn't show off the Chain Chomp one, I don't think. But yeah, a lot of similar characters, but not quite the same ones, which is really cool. And they also showed off the dungeon creator called the Chamber Dungeon, which lets you create your own dungeon, and then you can share them with Zelda Amiibo with friends. Which is kind of a cool thing, but the closest we're going to get to a Zelda Maker, I think.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like, this I guess, remake is actually, like, cool. Again, just because it looks like there's a lot of work, you know, in there, so... So that's, I'm actually excited for this one. I'll pick it up there when I actually have the time. I'll schedule this one into the book.
Oh yeah, and this is like pretty much going to be my September game. For sure. Dragon Quest XI might be my, maybe for Christmas type of game. So, I think if there's anything else coming out next, or this month that I need to get, but we still got more direct to talk about, so we'll see.
Yeah, and the next title here that they showed off was actually a Wii U game, and it's finally coming out here.
We didn't talk about Dragon Quest XI S.
Oh.
But I mean, they didn't really show off anything too much. Just showed off more of the 2D style and free DLC Champions Pack available day one. September 27th, Dragon Quest 11. All right, let's go on. That's all they just showed off. It was like, here's the thing that's also coming out. Okay.
That suddenly sounded like a PR.
Because the game comes out this month, so it's not like they're going to show off much more than they've already shown off. So, I mean, it's fine. There wasn't too much in there.
You just had to plug that one in,
right? Yeah, I just kind of get... getting everything chronological. But anyway, you were saying.
Yes.
I'll let you continue with this one.
Yeah, so the next title that was shown off was something there from, well, another title from the Wii U that is finally, I guess, showing up on the Switch there. And a lot of people were wondering when this, you know, when this title was going to get over to the Switch, or were they going to stay with the Wii U. And that is Tokyo Mirage Sessions. This is Fire Emblem Encore. So hashtag...
Yes, Tokyo Mirage Sessions. No, no, it's not hashtag, it's sharp.
It's sharp? Ha! Huh.
Sharp F-E, yeah.
Like hashtag.
Yeah, no, it's sharp. I was saying hashtag too, but they said in the video it's sharp.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Makes sense, it's musically themed, so.
Yeah, this one's interesting to me. This one originally did not come out in the U.S., if I'm correct, right?
No, it did.
It did. Okay, it did.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I had picked it up on the Wii U, but since it didn't offer a dub, it was sub only, and at the time my TV was kind of cut off by my center speaker, and I couldn't. I'd have to read subtitles. I'd have to stand up. I didn't get a chance to play it, and eventually I ended up selling it because I didn't have my Wii U anymore. So this is like one of two, I'm going to say kind of three Wii U games that I wanted for ported to the Switch.
See, I barely knew about this game, and when this came up, I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. And the reason...
Oh, no, I didn't sell... I don't think it sell worth shit when it came out originally.
Well, the reason why is because I'm not really too much into Fire Emblem. Yes, I love them in Smash Brothers. I know this is more like a Persona sort of a thing.
It's not even like Persona. It's more of like a more of a traditional RPG, JRPG. The Final Fantasy is just kind of like dressing. You have characters showing up from the games. But it's its own, like, entity, basically. Its own kind of thing. Outside of, like, demons and a weird setting. But it's, like, really its own thing. But it seems like it's one of those things, if you like over-the-top, unabashed JRPG-ness, then it'll be good.
I mean, it looks fun, so...
Yeah. It does look fun. It'd be funny if I'm all excited for this and I end up playing it and I end up hating it, but... I guess we'll see January 17th.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Alrighty. And then coming up is something that I don't think anyone saw coming. Is a sequel to Deadly Premonition, which was a very Twin Peaks-esque, B-movie-inspired kind of B-tier game. In I'm saying that in the most positive way. And the sequel is coming out exclusively for the Switch, apparently. I don't know if it's timed or not.
It is timed, yes. It is confirmed.
It's timed,
yes.
Okay.
It's confirmed it's timed, so.
Yes, so Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise. And that's coming out on the Switch in 2020. And they made a port of the original for the Switch, which is available now, which has some problems.
It's a, well, that game always had some problems, so it's not new.
Well, these are like some glitches, like this audio is cutting out and stuff. So
I mean, it's not new there. That's what you would expect from Deadly Premonitions, but it's I don't know if you, the budget's there too. So definitely, if you enjoy some glitches in your game, if you enjoy some batshit crazy shit, well, Deadly Premonitions is it. So.
Yeah, like it does seem like, because I've never played it, but I think I have it on PC, which I'll probably have to play at some point, because it does look, and again, I want to say this in the most positive way, it looks B-tier enough that I feel like I'd love it, just like campy and cheesy enough, but yeah, I just never got around to it.
So now, we're going to go ahead and talk about, this is a surprise, I guess, in the sense that people were expecting this a few weeks ago when the Doom Collection came out, pretty much Doom 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
And now it was revealed on the Direct there that Doom 64 is finally coming out on the Switch. And it's actually...
Yes. Well, because like they were expecting it because there was a listing for it, like I think on an Australian rating board that was coming out, and it was listed about the same time that Doom 1, 2, and 3 were. So they thought, okay, it's going to come out too, and they thought it was going to happen during QuakeCon, which didn't happen. So it's kind of like it's not really a well-kept secret, but it's nice that it's been confirmed. And this is also coming out on the PS4, I think, and PC as well. At least what the rating said. But I don't think it. I don't know if it's the same day or not.
Oh, so it is also coming out on PS4 and the other consoles.
Yes.
Okay.
It should be coming out. That's what the ratings said, but we'll see what happens. It looks fun. Like it's not a straight up port of the original Doom. They had to make some sacrifices and they made some changes. And that's kind of those changes are kind of what people loved about it. And it's kind of been stuck on the N64, so they just kind of had to move on. They just kind of had to like do what they could, and then now it's coming out. Now I can try it out. Alrighty, and then let us go into a little bit of the Sword and Shield action with some new Pokemon Sword and Shield news. They showed off four, no, I don't want to say features, they're four things about the games. And the first one is character customization. They had it in the last few games, but this one is supposed to have a lot more options. You can change. You can change your hairstyle post creating your character, which is nice. Hair color, you can change the character's tops, what is it? Outerwear, gloves, things like that. And kind of like it's cool, like it's offering that kind of stuff. I usually play male characters when playing Pokemon. I generally tend to do self-insert, which sounds a bit dorky, but whatever. But I might do a female character with Sword and Shield because they tend to have a lot more options. So, be kind of cool. The next thing they showed off is a Pokemon Camp, which is the Pokemon Sword and Shield Pokemon Ami version, where you basically like hang out with your Pokemon and like pet them and play with them and give them snacks, which look fine. Kind of cool. You can link up or like visit other players' camps and like hang out with their Pokemon and stuff like that.
It's like
You could do it.
it's going into that. It's like slowly building into like MMOs. Like, you know, like
Kinda, yeah.
slowly.
Oh, they this is kind of like the secret bases almost of Ruby and Sapphire, except not so secret, and like you can invite people and can't really set up anything. It's just kind of like, yeah, let's hang out. And you can also make the third thing is like you can make curry, different types of curry. It's just kind of like a new crafting recipe thing. Like you select the berry, you select like different things, and make different types of curry. And every time you make a new recipe, it goes into your curry decks, which is kind of cute that they called it a curry decks instead of like a recipe book or something. And then finally, the last thing that they showed off. Were two new Pokemon, Poltegeist, which is a haunted tea kettle,
Oh, I love this.
which is gonna,
I love that
which is
idea.
fucking adorable,
Yes. Me
and
being a
Cramorant.
tea connoisseur, this speaks to me.
Well, I love like ghost Pokemon, so I loved, and it looked like super cute, and I love like when they use like I guess inspiration from other stuff. And then they showed off Cramorant, which is the doofiest looking Pokemon I've seen yet, and I love it so. It looks so dumb, but I love it. I have it incorrectly listed. It's actually flying slash water instead of water slash flying. Like it really matters, but it's still gonna be four times weak against lightning, but still. Wingull was like one of my most used Pokemon in, I think, not Sun and Moon, X and Y. No, Alpha and Sapphire. remakes. So like hopefully he's as or it's as useful going into Sword and Shield. It's nice to have like that water flying combined into one slot.
I mean, it keeps getting better too. When it keeps showing off Sword and Shield, so it's I'm more excited now. This more excited. But yeah, Pokemon is usually a thing. It's like once it gets here, that's when you know all bets are off, and it's like the best game ever. during that time period. So yeah, it's definitely all these new things that are being added are great. I just want to see how the final product is. Just because, again, this is the next, I guess, this is pretty much going to be the next step on how Pokemon evolves and what people think of it. Because this one can actually shape the future of Pokemon, I feel. Because, you know, now that they made, what do you call it? Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Now they have a lot of things to draw and to pick from and what people liked. And this one is going to, you know, like set exactly how Pokemon should move in terms of evolving, I feel.
Yeah.
So yeah, with Pokemon, another thing that they, Nintendo has announced, and it's about damn time that it's finally happening, and it happened. Well, it happened today, as we, you know, as of today, Super Nintendo games are finally on the Switch. Finally, 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 about damn time. About damn time,
Nintendo. It's similar to their Nintendo Entertainment System online app thing, but specifically for Super Nintendo games. And they have some features, Rewind, I guess save states, and I feel like there's something else too I legitimately forgot. Oh, and obviously you can play online and locally with one Switch, blah, 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 blah. Stuff that makes sense for having a Nintendo Switch Online sub. And it's free, I guess. It's not like it's anything extra. It's included with Nintendo Switch Online membership. But I want to quickly run down the 20 games that they have so far, which honestly are super fucking weird. They have some obvious ones and some super out of left field ones, which is great. And I hope they keep adding to that. All right, real quick. Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Stunrace FX, which has never appeared on any system outside of the Super Nintendo, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Star Fox, F-Zero, Pilot Wings, Kirby's Dream Course, Brawl Brothers, Breath of Fire, Demon's Crest, Joan Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Super EDF, Earth Defense Force, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Puyo Puyo 2, Super Soccer, and Super Tennis. But it is quite a variety of games. Especially, like I said, some completely out of nowhere, like fucking Joan Mac 2 and Breath of Fire. And some obvious ones, like Super Metroid, Super Mario World, and Super Mario Kart. So.
Yeah, and I...
It's a really good one.
And I was playing Super Mario World for just a tiny, like, 3 or 4 levels. And I'm like, finally, I get to play this on the Switch. So yeah, I played a little bit. Took a break from Astral Chain there. But yeah, finally, they're Super Nintendo's on the Switch, and hopefully we get N64 games. So Nintendo might do this now. So
yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty good that was finally announced, especially in this Direct, and especially how it came out exactly the day after the Direct. So good job there, Nintendo.
Yeah, I do love how they're pretty good about, like, for the most part, like, announcing stuff and then quickly, like, releasing it. And there's a few titles that they'll announce it early on, but there are others where, you know, it's like, oh, hey, by the way, this is coming out. It's available now, or, like, it's available, like, tomorrow or something. which is fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. And I wish the next title actually would have came out tomorrow as well, but it's coming out on September 24th. And that was Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast. And also, they announced Jedi Academy as well, which is coming out next year. But
did they announce Academy?
Yes, it was Jedi Academy as well. It's coming out next year. And this one is actually going to be on the PS4 as well as the Switch. And I'm very excited for Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Academy. These games used to be my jam on PC. Especially Jedi Academy. With the online mode and with the mods, it was so fun. So fun. Like, the most fun I had in a PC game during that time, with the mods and just, like, doing lightsaber battles. So, very, very excited about that. That definitely came as a surprise to me. I was like, oh, crap, I finally get to play these again. Yeah, and I hope they allow mods. That would be so awesome. So, yeah, the Jedi Knight 2 is coming out September 24th. And then Jedi Academy is actually coming out next year. And they both have their online modes intact, of what we know so far. There is a rumor that it just could be just Jedi Academy, but this one is coming out so soon, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast. So we'll check and see for that one, but I'm so excited for that. So that was definitely a surprise for me. Now, another thing here, this is a big one here too for the Direct, and this is a title here that I guess a lot of people are waiting for. I never been that big of a fan of the next game we're going to talk about here, and that's Animal Crossing. Yeah, so they showed actually a pretty good amount here of Animal Crossing. Like I said, I'm not into it. I know about it. I played like a few. I dabbled in it, and
yeah, I'm pretty much the same. I've tried to play it before, but it's never quite clicked with me. But I might give this one a shot because I love the kind of like super chill atmosphere it has. And it feels like they've added a lot of stuff since I played it last, which was Wild World on DS. So
yeah, and people might hate us for not playing Animal Crossing, but yeah, it's just not a thing I got around to. I played the it was the DS version I did play. Yeah, it was Wild World. Yeah, I did play that, but again, I wasn't too invested into it. It never clicked with me. But I understand the love this franchise gets. So yeah, people are so gonna hate us for that. but yeah, they definitely showed off a lot more of Animal Crossing. Like you said, this one I might give a try as well. So I guess people could lure us into playing the other Animal Crossings. Maybe we'll do a stream on it. You know.
No, I have no interest in playing any of the other Animal Crossings.
Look at that.
Maybe the 3DS one. But like I said, like for me, it feels like since they've added like a ton of stuff per game, that this is like probably the best one to enter in. Just because like you don't really need to play any of the other ones, and this one just seems like pretty cool and chill, and like the desert island theme is pretty neat. Although I did like the concept of the villager being the mayor and like choosing stuff in for the city, but it seems really cool. And plus, I don't know what it is, but like that shot in the Direct where they're talking about the seasons and it's raining and they're talking about how sometimes the wind is strong enough it moves the trees. I just got like this like really chill vibe from it, and I'm like, I gotta play this game now. Just that one spot, like just that one spot with like the wind rustling the trees, and like feels super chill.
There you go. So that's gonna be our stream there. It's gonna be Animal Crossing, and it's just gonna be just us chilling in one spot with that tree.
Well, I mean,
that's just gonna be the stream.
Yeah, I mean, and it has like up to 8-player multiplayer. I don't know, 8-player hangout. So everyone can like hang out on the same island, which is like super cool. And I definitely think it'll be streamable.
Yeah, so that's totally gonna happen now.
Oh yeah.
Now that we mentioned it there, you see now the Animal Crossing
Now we
fans,
have to.
now the Animal
Yeah.
Crossing fans are
Now we
like,
have to.
okay, guys, all right, we give you that one. Well, we're gonna stream that game there. We're just gonna chill out.
Yeah, so it's super chillax stream. And then again, okay. But then again, it's coming out like a March 20th, which is right around when Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out. And I feel like there's another game that
Watch
comes out
Dogs
right around then.
comes out around that time.
I don't give a shit about Watch
I
Dogs.
do.
There's something
I
else. I know
do.
you do, but I'm saying I don't. And there's something else that comes out like on the 20th or the 22nd. I'm looking up right now. It's gonna bother me. But yeah, like it looks good. It's just like March is gonna be crazy with titles.
For sure. And I guess the last thing here we're going to talk about there, and this is also coming out in 2020, and Nintendo is actually remaking Xenoblade Chronicles. Like, complete visual overhaul. Complete remaster.
Top down, like complete change. Cause like I saw like a cause I when I saw the announcement, I was like, oh yeah, I guess it looks good. I mean, it didn't seem like it needed anything, but then I saw like a comparison of the original Wii version versus the new one. I'm like, damn, that is an upgrade, a huge upgrade.
Yeah, like huge. Like it's big. It's big. And it's definitely the art style definitely changed. So
I don't necessarily think it changed a lot. I think it just it fell more in line, I feel like, what they wanted to do, but weren't limited to the Wii. 'Cause like Shulk looks pretty much identical to his Smash Brothers counterpart. So I feel like that's kind of what they wanted him to look like, and but they just kind of couldn't on the Wii.
yeah, I guess that's the, their take there on the art style. I'm just excited to play it. Like I really honestly I've not played Xenoblade Chronicles for more than 20 minutes, honestly. And this I played it on the 3DS. That's the only time where I played Xenoblade Chronicles. I know everybody tells me it's good, you should go ahead and just try the whole thing, but I'm definitely gonna play now with these upgrades in visuals. I'm definitely gonna go ahead and take a look now and see what everyone is raving about. Again, like I literally only played Xenoblade Chronicles for about like 20, 30 minutes tops.
Yeah, I think I played it for like maybe an hour or two on the Wii, but I hated how I had to. For me, like RPGs, I need to be able to easily get into. That's why I prefer portable ones, because it's literally like, open the 3DS or press the power button and just go. But with Xenoblade Chronicles, it was like getting the Wiimote, finding my pro controller, plugging it into the Wiimote, and then like doing all that rigmarole just so I could play it. It felt like extraneous because I'd still have to have the pro controller attached to the Wiimote. It was just stupid. And I got the 3DS version, but I never play it much since I heard it wasn't that great performance-wise. So this one I'm super looking forward to because I could play portably and I could play it on the TV and just
And with the best visuals,
and
the
it look
definitive,
exactly. It looks nice.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for this for Xenoblade Chronicles. You see, this is another thing Nintendo our Nintendo fans are actually gonna they're not gonna like about us. They're like, they're checking this off here. Like, okay, Animal Crossing. Like, no, like, not enough experience. Animal Crossing, Xenoblade Chronicles, not enough. That's another thing they're gonna be checking off there. But,
well, I think with like Animal Crossing, I think most people understand that it's not for everyone. At least I think most people understand. For Xenoblade, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people haven't played it. But then again, like, Nintendo's giving that series, like, a lot of love. Considering, like, they didn't want to bring it over to North America originally. Like, you got... Now it's getting two ports. It's got a rep in Smash Brothers. Like, and it has two sequels, kinda. So, kind of surprising how far it's come.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, and I guess with that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. Yeah, overall, I honestly lowered my expectations with the Direct, and it delivered in that sense. So yeah, it was definitely a solid Direct.
Yeah, I was kind of excited for it, but I didn't have any expectations in terms of what they were going to announce going in. Like I said before, like, I expected, like, 10 minutes of Pokemon, 10 minutes of Luigi's Mansion, or, like, not Luigi's Mansion, like, Link's Awakening, stuff that's coming out, like, spending some time on it. But it was nice to get, like, a ton of stuff, some good surprises, Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think this is probably their best non-E3 Direct this year. Maybe in the last 2 years? I don't remember last year. Just because it was, like, solid, there's no filler, it was just like, go, 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 here's some stuff. The only time they slowed down was for Animal Crossing, and I kind of feel that made sense.
Well, I mean, Tokyo Game Show is coming up, so we're definitely going to be seeing a lot more things in September there, and yeah, we'll be talking about it here on DPR, so, just with that being said, we will be here for Tokyo Game Show. We will go ahead and talk about there what other things are getting revealed. Because it's definitely happening. There's definitely more announcements coming for Tokyo Game Show.
Well, I mean, Capcom has, like, their whole, like, adult Switch games thing initiative that they're planning, which I don't know what that means. So we'll see, like, definitely get more Capcom games.
Instantly, when I hear adult Switch initiative game, I'm like, is Capcom releasing porn? It's, what the hell? Like, that's where my mind wandered there. I'm like, why did they even name it that? Just say games. Not even the double.
Well, they're going for, like, a specific vibe, and that's pretty much either games for people who are adults that have nostalgic attachment to stuff like Phoenix Wright, or games with more adult themes, quote unquote.
It could just be
by
games.
Just saying mature rated, really.
All these labels. Yes, all these damn labels.
Yeah, the whole thing is, like, completely unnecessary.
It's unnecessary. Yes, these are unnecessary labels. So yeah, that's gonna be very, very interesting to see at Tokyo Game Show. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, and we ended off in that note. Definitely just check us out next week there, and we're going to officially close the floodgates. There you go. And in the vault. So definitely go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Also, subscribe to DPR there on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. We're pretty much everywhere. So if you subscribe, you're able to get the podcast earlier. Usually it's you'll always see it come up earlier there if you subscribe. So definitely check that out. And yeah, with that being said, we'll see you guys next week, and hopefully we get some more info on this these Capcom games I want to see. So so definitely check us out next week, and we'll see ya.
Catch you on the flip side.